Welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, November 20th, 2016. I'm your host, Maddie Love, and I'm happy to be joined via phone with Callie Wright. Among other things, Callie is the host of the Gaytheist Manifesto, a podcast where Callie and co-host Ari Stillman discuss issues at the intersection of LGBTQ rights and atheism and secularism. Yeah, easy for me to say. Recently, Callie has begun a small speaking tour called Bible Belt Talk, where Callie is taking this concept of intersectionality directly to college campuses all over the East Coast. Callie joins Atheist Talk today to share some of the core messages of that talk and to discuss why it is so important for those of us in the atheism and secular communities to remain allies with the LGBTQIA communities. This is an open conversation. We welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205. Your emails to radio at mnatheist.org or tweet us at Atheist Talk. Sorry, millennials, still no chat Snapchat yet. Callie, welcome to Atheist Talk.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I've been listening to the Gaytheist Manifesto for a few months now, and I want to take a moment to tell you that I think your show is great and that you're doing great work right now to help support and heal a community that I really feel is hurt and justifiably scared as to their future. And so I just want to say, yeah, thank you.
I appreciate that. I'm just trying to do what I can.
So your speaking tour, the Bible Belt Talk, just kind of recently wrapped up. I was wondering, how does that relate to the podcast, your podcast, the Gaytheist Manifesto?
Well, so the idea is to sort of make the case for the idea that not only that atheist and secular folks should be involved in LGBTQ issues, but vice versa as well. I think the queer and trans community needs to be a bit more comfortable than we seem to be with secular values, because I really think that secular values are what protect us. Since, you know, all of the biggest opposition to progress in those areas comes from the religious right, and they're, you know, leading with the religious reasoning for doing so. So, you know, if we fight for a secular world, if we fight for secular values, we're fighting for the idea that your faith doesn't get to say anything about how I live my life. And I think that's sort of queer and trans activism by proxy, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, that makes perfect sense. So you begin your talk, the Bible Belt talk, you start it with a really powerful story of love. And I say powerful because as I was reading it the first time, I was in a coffee shop and people were kind of looking at me like, why is she crying? But you begin it with two fellow Ohioans, Jim and John. And is that a story you can share here? And can you share with us why you begin your talk with their story?
Yeah, so I think the why is important first, because when I give talks, I'm not good at giving the kind of talks that are like, hey, here's a bunch of statistics and here's what this means. Like, I like being kind of a storyteller. And that's kind of what the talk is. It's the collection of stories. And I think this is a really powerful one because it's a cultural reference point that everyone understands. Everyone remembers the Supreme Court decision that legalized marriage equality. And so what I do in the talk is I don't tell people that's the story that I'm telling. I just say, I'm going to tell a love story. And I tell a story of Jim and John, and it's just a classic love story, right? They met a couple of times, they didn't hit it off, and all of a sudden they met once, and they just fell head over heels in love with each other. Jim dropped out of school to stay in Ohio with John, and they're living their lives together, doing little bits of activism here and there when it came to gay issues. And then all of a sudden John gets sick, and he gets diagnosed with ALS, and Jim becomes his caretaker. And they decide that they're going to get married because the Supreme Court overturned the Defense of Marriage Act, or it was part of the Defense of Marriage Act, and made it possible for legally married gay couples to get federal benefits. So they decided that was enough, and they wanted to get married, but they had to go to Maryland to do it because it still wasn't legal in Ohio. So, you know, they asked for help, and they ended up having to raise $13,000 to get a medical transport plane to get John to Maryland so they could get married. And then, and I purposely leave that part of the story there. And then I tell the story about they get home, they get contacted by a civil rights attorney who says, hey, you know what? John doesn't have a long time. And when he dies, he's going to be listed as single on his birth certificate because Ohio doesn't recognize your marriage. So they decided to sue the state of Ohio. And, you know, the TLDR version is that Ohio ruled against them eventually. And that case made it to the Supreme Court. And that was the case, along with four others, that eventually decided marriage equality for the entire country. And then I dropped the bombshell that John actually died 2 months after they got married. He wasn't there to see that Supreme Court decision. So, you know, Jim won this amazing victory, and the man he loved wasn't there to see it. And, you know, you said you were crying. I've given this talk probably 10 times now, and I cry in the talk literally every single time because I just can't imagine.
Yeah, it's just it's a happy story, but such a sad story because, I mean, there's just so much emotion. And I guess the other part is, I mean, I think that story is such a great way to start your talk, and that, I mean, it really encapsulates a lot of the issues that we have with the conservative, not the conservative, but the religious aspects, regardless of the faith, being that religion being entwined into government and where you have a government deciding things based on like one particular faith. You know, these two people can't live their life and love each other because somebody has a different belief in God than they do. So.
Exactly.
Anyway, I guess, you know, one of my favorite parts of that story, though, is that the aunt was able to perform the marriage ceremony. It just kind of, it was a little bit of happiness inside the story, too.
Well, right. It worked out because she was actually Jim's aunt, and she's also a nurse. So that kind of worked out because they needed a nurse to be on the medical transport plane with them. So it was just kind of a happy way that worked out.
Yeah. And, you know, this is Minnesota, so it's his aunt, not his aunt. I'm just teasing.
Right, sorry.
In your talk, you asked how many people had heard this story prior to you sharing it with them. What's the response been?
Very few people knew that entire story before I told it.
Wow.
And I get it, right? Because it's not a happy story. Learning the entirety of that story is not necessarily a happy thing. And that's something that I go through in the talk is like, you know, when we win big victories, like those are the stories that don't get told. And it's understandable, right? Because you fight so hard to do this stuff and win these victories. You just want to feel good about it. You don't want to feel like, oh man, this is a great victory, but holy crap, did it cost us a lot. And it took too long, and so many people got hurt. You don't want to be the person who's saying those kinds of things. Like, you just want to be happy.
Right.
So I get it, but I think those sides of the story are really important.
No, I completely agree. You've mentioned the religious right in your talk and lots of people mentioned this, but the religious right is kind of a major hurdle in the fight for equality. How can you share with us like how your family handled the God question, and did that shape your life at all?
A little. I'm actually pretty lucky. Like, I had a pretty mildly religious upbringing. My mom is one of those people who will tell you that she believes in God, but she doesn't live her life as if there's any. And I don't mean she's like, you know, like a hedonist or all of that. I mean, she lives her life as if religion didn't exist. Just put it that way. But my grandma is a fundamentalist Pentecostal Christian, And I mean, I went to church with her, and, you know, for me, I think it was more something to do with grandma. I mean, I believed it was true, but, it didn't really take a lot to shake me out of it. You know, I mean, I went to church and I heard all the stories about hell and all that kind of stuff. And it scared me as a kid because of course it did. You know, once I got a little older and I was like, you know, I should actually read this Bible. And it's the same story you hear from so many people. Like, I'm actually going to read the Bible, and then you do it, and it's like, wow, that really doesn't make sense. And then you start asking questions, and you get really bad answers to your questions, and it's like, huh, I guess I don't believe any of this is true anymore, you know? So, it was a really sort of easy process for me. It wasn't the struggle for me that it was for a lot of people, because I wasn't, like, super, super indoctrinated as a kid.
Well, you're pretty public, but do I have your permission to out you to any listeners who are unfamiliar with your work?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I have crashed out of whatever closets I've been in.
Well, I assumed otherwise I wouldn't even have said that. But, you know, as a trans woman, you're part of the LGBTQIA community. Can you share a bit how that aspect of your identity and your life is like, how that has how that's impacted your activism.
Well, and this is something that I'm not actually particularly proud of. I don't know that I would have become an activist had I not figured out myself as a trans woman, as a queer woman, or anything like that. You know, I lived my life before I came out, before I realized who I was, is sort of your average straight white guy, and a lot of the stuff didn't affect me very much, so I would sort of give lip service. Oh, man, that's horrible. I don't like that. But I don't know that I ever would have been an activist of any kind. And coming out and actually realizing and living how bad these situations can get sometimes, that was where I was like, wow, like I got to jump in here. I got to be part of this fight, and I got to do something about it. So, I mean, it's the reason that I'm in activism in the first place, really. And then it's also sort of helped with the intersectionality, you know, being treated as if I was male for a long time and then realizing how different that is from how you get treated when people perceive you as being a woman, that gave me some insight and into some other sort of intersectional ideas. You know, when I can empathize a little more when I hear people talking about racism or ableism or, you know, other sort of isms like that, it helps me empathize a little more, and instead of sort of sitting in a privileged bubble, I guess is the way to explain that.
Sounds good. We're going to go to a quick break. Please stay with us through the break. We'll return to Atheist Talk with our guest Callie Wright of the Gaytheist Manifesto. I'm Maddie Love. You're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Kirk Duckwall with Bricks Real Estate, here to let you know the Twin Cities Real Estate Show is back. Tune in each Sunday starting at noon to keep up with the latest news in the Twin Cities real estate market. You can also catch my business partner, Chad Vandelot, and myself as we fill you in on the most up-to-date tools, trends, and technology to give you the edge when buying or selling. Again, that's the Twin Cities Real Estate Show on this station, Sundays starting at noon.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly, plus our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers, with scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from. It's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
There are those that say that the recent severe storms are God's judgment. There are those that say humans are causing climate change. Humanists know that knowledge of our world comes from observation, experimentation, and rational analysis, not from reading horoscopes or old writings. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find meeting times and locations and more at humanistsofmn.org. Like us at Facebook, too, or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. You're tuned into Atheist Talk. I'm your host, Maddie Love. Today's guest is podcaster and atheist activist Callie Wright, and we're discussing the importance of having strong secular voices in the LGBTQIA communities. Before we get back over, I want to remind everyone listening live that immediately following this program, you can listen to American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production from the American Atheists. This week, Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, is discussing President-elect Donald Trump's nomination for U.S. Attorney General and their proposed and likely to pass First Amendment Defense Act, H.R. 2802. So stick around and remember, you can always catch the program again by subscribing to the podcast version. As for the here and now, if you'd like to get involved in the conversation with Callie this morning, you can call us at 952-946-6205, email us at radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at atheisttalk. All right, Callie, thanks for sticking around through the break.
Yeah.
So, kind of a downer. One of the most beautiful pictures I've ever seen is a selfie of a 17-year-old girl in a white and black dress who, for a brief moment in her life, looks like she might be happy. For anyone listening unaware, her life was full of trash, choosing their religious beliefs over their daughter's life and never accepting her even as their daughter. Did the death of Lila Alcorn have any impact in your life or change the focus of your activism?
Yes, absolutely. So first, on a personal level, like if you read the note that she auto-posted to Tumblr as her suicide note, when she talks about her fears and everything about transition, like even if she were able to transition, not feeling that she would have a life that was worth living. And like, that's exactly the thought that kept me in the closet as long as it did. Like, I just didn't think that I would ever, I didn't feel like I would ever be able to live a full life if I came out. And so you're reading that. I mean, it was, it felt like I got stabbed in the gut when I read that, because it was just, it hit so close to home. And and she didn't make it out, And so that was kind of the thing that sort of catapulted me into being an activist as a significant part of my life. I'd already been involved in my local community, helping organize events and kind of being a voice at support groups and that kind of thing. But that was really the time that was like, okay, activism is a thing I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to be an activist. And so I tell the story in the talk about the vigil that we held in front of her high school, because she's from Cincinnati, where I am. And, they always have open and affirming clergy at these events. And there was one in particular who was talking, and she was giving a very good speech about, community and family and coming together in the face of tragedy and that kind of stuff. And I can get behind all of that. Like, obviously the God context doesn't really mean a lot to me, but I can get behind the rest of that message. And then she said that God was a first responder on the highway that day. And I just thought to myself, like, I get what she's trying to say, but that's just such a disgusting concept to me, because that tells me that God sat back and watched all of these awful things and only decided to show up after this girl died. And that was kind of the point where I was like, I can't just be an LGBT activist and in another part of my life do atheist activism. Like, these things have to go together, because there's a desperate need for both of these points of view in both communities. So that's sort of what catapulted me into doing what I do now. So I mean, it's really sort of the flashpoint for the activism that I do.
So would you say that was like one of the kicking off points or the push to do the podcast you're doing now, the Gaytheist Manifesto?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple weeks previous to that, I'd helped David Smalley and the Dogma Debate folks with their 24-hour broadcast-a-thon that benefited Foundation Beyond Belief. And I just sat in front of my computer and captured the audio for all 24 hours of the broadcast. And I was looking at the list of guests, and I was like, wow, there are no, at least I don't remember that there were any queer or trans people as part of the show. And I just thought to myself, like, where are these folks? And I found plenty of them since getting involved in the community, but they're not as visible as, people like Matt Dillahunty and people like that. And so I thought, well, there are conversations here that aren't being had. Maybe I could be the person to push those conversations. And, you know, I was kind of throwing around the idea of doing the podcast. And that night at the vigil was kind of when I was like, you know, I've been throwing around the idea of doing this podcast. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And it was just, it was 2 months later after, you know, getting things together and figuring out, you know, who I wanted to be involved. It was only 2 months later than that we released the first episode. And it's just been, you know, nuts ever since.
In your talk, you compare experiences with people coming out of the LGBTQIA closet to those coming out of the atheist closet to their family. You know, you've been doing this now for a few years. Do you still feel as though this comparison is valid?
I more feel that it's valid after doing the things that I've done and talking to the people that I've talked to. Almost every story that I hear validates the idea that there is intersectionality between these two things. And I want to be clear, you know, I don't like playing oppression Olympics, but we'll just say that, generally speaking, there aren't people trying to kill atheists in the United States. You know, and around the world, absolutely it happens. And there's, what, 19 countries where it's a death penalty offense to be an atheist. So I don't want to necessarily downplay that. But generally speaking, I would say being an atheist is not quite as tenuous as being a queer or trans person, but there is still that same sort of struggle. You know, when you're terrified to tell everyone around you because you've built this community up around being sort of the default, you know, Christian, straight, cisgender, so on and so forth person. And when you figure out that you're not that person, it's really scary because at that point you're risking everything that you have. And so the more stories I hear, the more and more sure I am that these are a thing, that these things make sense to go together, not just in the we need to fight the religious right sense, but that we may be able to have a special kind of empathy for each other in a certain kind of way.
We've got just about a minute left before we go to break again, but can you tell the story of the decision-making process for where Lila Alcorn's vigil was held. Can you share with us some thoughts on regarding acceptance of LGBTQIA individuals within the atheist community compared with the acceptance of atheists within the LGBTQIA community?
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of times these events are held at churches, right? And Lila was an atheist. We knew this. She was not a fan of religion. And I said, you know, holding this in a church wouldn't be appropriate given who she was, the circumstances of her death, how she felt. This wouldn't be appropriate, and everybody was fighting for that because churches will do it for free. That's what it really is. I mean, it's a Christian privilege thing, but churches also do it for free. And I decided to put my foot down, and I was like, no, we're not going to do that because it would be wrong. And that made me really unpopular in the LGBTQ community where I live. And finally, you know, we got a donor to step in and pay for it to stop the fighting, actually. And that was my first activisting victory, which felt awesome. But I don't receive that kind of pushback doing the LGBTQ thing in the atheist community as opposed to vice versa typically.
Awesome. All right, well, we're going to go to break again. I hope you guys stick around. We'll return to our guest, Callie Wright of the Gaytheist Manifesto, right after the break. Please stay with us. I'm Maddie Love, and you're listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Mike Papantonio from Ring of Fire. Ring of Fire is a direct, smart, and I gotta promise you, a fearless progressive talk show. Join me, Mike Papantonio, and my co-host Bobby Kennedy Jr. and Sam Cedar as we take on the large corporate conglomerates and that radical right-wing media that dominate America's airwaves. Ring of Fire, Saturdays from 3 to 6 and Sundays from 6 to 9 p.m. on AM 950. It is the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Every Saturday at noon, join our retirement conversation with the Neil Larson Financial Hour here on AM 950 KTNF. Neil brings you the retirement news and advice you need to create safe money. Call today for your free personal appointment, 952-303-3232. Neil Larson can show you proven financial strategies to help you create a stable income in retirement. Call today, 952-303-3232. Don't miss the Neil Larson Financial Hour, Saturdays at noon on AM 950 KTNF.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers, here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheist Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions, too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Peter Lee. Clearing later, highs in the lower 30s, east winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Clear tonight with lows in the lower 20s. A mostly sunny Monday with highs in the upper 30s, then clouding up in the evening, a 20% chance of snow after midnight. The EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Cafe Latte, a gourmet cafeteria with an ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Desserts available whole or by the slice on Victoria and Grand in St. Paul. More information at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm your host, Maddie Love. Before we start this final segment with Callie, there is a bit of housekeeping I need to attend to. First off, and this is really important, if, like me, you think it's important to keep secular voices on radio, then I need to remind everyone that Atheist Talk is produced with funding from the Minnesota Atheists, the Humanists of Minnesota, and Cucumbers Restaurant right here in Edina, Minnesota. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you'd like to advertise in this program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheists.org. This radio program is put together by dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of you, our listeners. You help keep Atheist Talk on the air and in podcast. Personally, I use the show to have public conversations with, well, really cool people in the atheist and secular community, like Callie here. If you are able to help with a donation, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page. Minnesota Atheist is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. We couldn't do this show without you, and we deeply appreciate your support. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michael Davis. As always, check out the Minnesota Atheist website. We've got podcasts of previous programs. You can browse articles, book reviews, and the calendar of upcoming events. We always have a ton of activities going on around the Twin Cities and even the outlying suburbs. If you want to get involved, check out the website and sign up for Atheist Weekly email, or, I don't think that's how they pronounce it, but it's how I do. Whether you're looking to have brunch, volunteer in the community, or relax and have good conversation with fellow atheists, you'll find it in the Atheist Weekly calendar. If you enjoy this show and all that Minnesota Atheists has to offer, consider becoming a member of Minnesota Atheists while you're on the website. Your support helps us better serve you. Thanks for listening. I know that was a lot because I said it, and now that I'm out of breath. So let's get back to Callie and her Bible Belt talk. So Callie, thanks for sticking out through the break again. You were mentioning at the end how you've, of the last segment, that you've generally found more, if I understood you right, generally have found more acceptance of being LGBT in the atheist community than sometimes you'll find of atheists in the LGBT community. being a transgender atheist podcaster myself, I've had more than one guest refuse to come on my personal podcast because it's an atheist podcast, and they were afraid their clients or customers, they'd get the wrong impression. Have you had that issue at all, or?
I have. I won't name names, obviously, but in the wake of the military deciding to be inclusive of trans folks, I had reached out to a few people to try and get their perspectives and get them to interview on the show, and there were two, if memory serves, who refused to be on the show because of the atheist connection.
That's just I just don't understand. I just don't understand. Do you have any suggestions for secular and atheist activists that are within the LGBT community who want to ensure their needs are met, maybe to perhaps have events outside of even a liberal church, but still respecting and accepting those that are in the church that want to be our allies?
Gosh, that's tough. I mean, the thing that I always tell people is that you have to really be considerate of yourself and your bandwidth to engage in those kinds of things. Because that's something that I hear often, especially from people who are sort of the marginalized folks within the community. So people who are, you know, asexual or people who are non-binary trans. And a lot of times I hear from folks like that who say that they don't feel like there's a place for them. And, you know, they go to events and they have people who are, you know, supposed to be activists for the queer and trans community, but they don't think that non-binary people exist or, you know, silly things like that. And the thing that I say is, you know, if you're a person who has the capacity to fight and you want to fight, then show up in that space and fight for it because you belong there. If you're not a person who has the bandwidth to do that, that's okay. Not everybody does, and not everybody should have to. And nobody should have to, put it that way. But that's the great thing about social media. You know, you'll be able to find people to connect with. And I even told somebody once, like, you know, if you don't feel like you're a person who can show up and actually fight, you know, and stuff like that, you can make your own community. Because I'm sure you've probably heard from maybe two or three other people who feel the same way you do, who don't feel like there's a place for them. So why not have, like, a dinner meetup every week and have, sort of do your own thing? And that's awful. Like, I feel bad even suggesting that because no one should have to do that. But, I mean, we all need community, right? And sometimes we have to create it for ourselves. And that's a terrible reality, but it is, unfortunately, a reality. So that's kind of the spiel that I usually give people in situations like that.
I remember back from my fundamentalist Christian days, there was some Bible verse, I don't remember which one, talking about, you know, don't give up meeting together or something like that. And while that's deep in Christianity is like a Christian thing, I think that's just a human thing that it's important to get around and to surround yourself, maybe not every day, but on a continual basis with people that, you know, you consider family or that you consider support groups or so you don't feel like you're an island all alone. And social media, I mean, that can really, really help you find those communities to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, we're social creatures by nature, you know, and that's how we evolved. We have an instinct to be social and to surround ourselves with people and community, and especially people, you know, who we have things in common with. So it's a natural human instinct, and it's terrible that we have to try and figure out and navigate ways around that for people who, for people who have trouble finding that. But you know, that's what we do. Sometimes.
Yeah, our fantastic sound engineer, Pete, just reminded me that word I was looking for was fellowship. And, I mean, that's so true. I mean, heck, yeah. Even Tolkien used it, although I guess he was kind of a Christian. So, but, I mean, there's you know, like keeping, like, as far as being broad and everybody under the umbrella. I mean, we've got non-believers, Jewish, Muslim, Wiccan. I mean, there's so many, or even just the wrong flavor of Christian for the church or the minister that happens to be holding right. The event. Went off on a bit of a tangent there. I was wondering, do you consider your own story unique?
Not really, to be honest. I mean, there are so many stories of people who, you know, who come out and, you know, have experiences and decide to do activism. You know, I think there are lots of people who have the same kind of views that I do and who sort of got there through the same means. You know, I think I happen to have a really fortunate confluence of circumstances that let me get on a podcast network that gave me a bit of a platform from the start, which was awesome. And I happen to have a couple of skills that sort of converge to make this specific kind of thing a little easier. I'm generally good at communicating with people. I'm generally good at networking and that kind of thing. But I don't think necessarily that my story is so unique. I think what's unique about me, if anything, is the fact that I'm uniquely fortunate in the support that I've gotten from my community and my friends and my family, because I feel like so often when people aren't able to do the things that I'm doing, it's not because they're not capable, they're not motivated or anything like that. It's because they're not handed the tools to do it. You know, I don't have to spend my days worrying about what my family is going to do to me, what my community is going to do to me, or losing my friends or anything like that. Like, I have that solid base behind me, which makes me comfortable to step out further and step out further and step out further. And generally speaking, when I step out and when I'm vulnerable and when I get personal about things, instead of being punished for for that, like so many people are, I'm usually rewarded for that by, you know, people telling me, gosh, you know, I've been struggling with the same thing, and hearing you talk about it really helped me, and that kind of thing. So I've been extremely fortunate in that I've had the right sort of life circumstances happen that allow me to do this. And my message is that what I'm capable of doing, what I'm doing, it's not so much that it's unique, it's that I've been handed the tools. That's the unique part, is that I've been given the support that I need to do this. So, you know, for people who are trans or people who are part of any marginalized community, you know, there's no real good reason that our lives have to be all of that different from anyone else's. What we really need is for people to get out of the way, not for people to hand us things, but for people to just get out of the way, because we can do this stuff on our own if people would just let us.
Amen. I think that's one of my favorite parts of your entire message, or that I got out of, was just not that we're not looking for a handout. We're not looking for somebody to help us necessarily, like, step over them or get anything special. Just let us live our lives. If I'm understanding you right, but that's what I got out of it. Yeah. Your show, The Gaytheist Manifesto, and you yourself, you've spent a lot of time helping listeners, friends, family, and even total strangers, just from when I follow you on Facebook and whatnot, to come to grips with fears brought about by certain promises that were made during this last campaign and election season. What are your thoughts on our future as atheists and as members of the LGBTQIA community?
I mean, I think all of the things that we fight for are going to be tougher to achieve. I think, you know, the most vulnerable members of our community are going to need way more support than they already do, which was a lot in the first place, because you know, let's face it, for a lot of folks in those communities, life was already really hard. You know, in the wake of the election, it's a matter of degree. It's not necessarily new situations. It's just that things are getting worse. And I think going forward, it's really important for people to be cognizant of that, especially people in relative positions of privilege who are in a position to be that support and to give that support to people. So, you know, one of the things that I really appreciate sometimes about activists is when they're very upfront. Look, we need your time, we need your body, and we need your money. You know, that's what it really is. Because, and obviously we don't want to shame people who aren't capable of doing those things. I want to trust people in that they're engaging to the level that they're capable of, and that's fine. But, you know, one of the things that I said on the show is that I would encourage people just to honestly assess what your capabilities are and if you're involved to the extent of your capability. And I'm going to trust you when you say the answer is yes to that. But, I mean, we need people to be involved. And it's little things. You know, one of my big spiels is about what activism really is. And, you know, what I do is activism. It's important, you know, public speaking and podcasting and all of that kind of stuff. That's important. But the things that people generally consider the little things or the background things, those things are vital too. You know, everybody needs spreadsheets. Everybody needs PowerPoint presentations. Everybody needs people making phone calls. Those kinds of things. Those are all important. And I think everyone has some kind of skill. And every skill that a person can have can usually be brought to bear in service of a cause. And I think a lot of people get the idea that they can't be involved because they're not comfortable speaking in front of a group of people, for example. And that's just not true. You know, I mean, if you can speak up when your family says something racist, or you can just be visible as the person not laughing at an anti-gay joke, you know, those things all count. And even kindness counts. You know, I had somebody at work, it's kind of a long story, so I won't tell the entire story here, but
yeah, I've actually got like 27 seconds, so I'm going to have to cut you off, unfortunately. I'm so sorry.
Fair. Let's put it this way. Kindness counts.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. We'd love for you to join us again next Sunday when we're having a live in-studio discussion of the history of Puritans. I'm proud to be on the air with Minnesota Atheists, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. The podcast for the show will be on our radio page later today. Have a good Sunday, and remember to stick around through the brief commercial break for American Atheists Viewpoints.
Make the connection. I'm Lori Fitz, host of Connections Radio Show, talking about ideas that matter. Join me and my guests as we reflect on a wide range of topics that challenge us to see ourselves, our community, and the world around us in ways that get us thinking, connected, and perhaps inspired or challenged to do just a bit more because we made the connection. Be a part of our conversation, Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The Neil Larson Financial Hour airs every weekend, bringing you the latest updates in retirement financial issues. Hi, this is Neil Larson. I have more than 40 years' experience, and each week I offer informed financial tips and strategies to ensure you make safe investments. For more personalized advice to maintain a stable income after retirement, contact me at 952-303-3232.
The Neil Larson Financial Hour, Saturdays at noon with a replay Sundays at 7 a.m., only on AM 950.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words Click Here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Hello, and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint for Sunday, November 20th, 2016. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, and thank you, as always, for joining us. This week, we've had a lot of news coming out from the transition team for the president-elect, including on Friday, news that Donald Trump had selected Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions, a Republican from Alabama, who was one of the few senators, sitting senators, who endorsed Donald Trump during the campaign before you know, the end of the primaries, that he would be nominating Jeff Sessions to be his attorney general. Now, there, Jeff Sessions, before he was elected a senator, was nominated by Ronald Reagan to serve as a federal judge, but his nomination was one of only two that had been that were stopped in committee. So not only did Sessions' nomination was not confirmed by the full Senate, it wasn't even referred out of the Senate Judiciary Committee to the full Senate. His nomination was stopped because of allegations surrounding racist comments that he had made in the past, including calling an African-American attorney boy, and had said had spoken somewhat favorably about the Klan, but said that he was pretty much okay with the Klan until he found out that they smoked marijuana. He also had said that groups like the ACLU and the NAACP were anti-American and communist and all sorts of stuff like that. So he has sort of a troubled history when it comes to racial issues, and this is a man who would otherwise be leading the Justice Department's Division on Civil Rights and enforcing the Voting Rights Act and overseeing so much that has in our nation that has to do with racial issues, that it sort of raises a lot of red flags there. But a comment he made a while ago, talking about Supreme Court Justice, in particular Sonia Sotomayor, where he said that he was criticizing a statement that she had made. Here's the quote. She said there is no objectivity, just a series of perspectives. He also suggested that the problem may be that Sotomayor and other judges aren't sufficiently religious. Quote, if you have secularization in the world and you don't believe in a higher being, maybe you don't believe there is any truth, end quote. So this is a problem, obviously, for many of us. You know, Jeff Sessions apparently thinks that if you're not a religious person, or even if you're not sufficiently religious, that you can't have a sense of morality, or you can't be a person who can judge facts, or a person who believes that there are certain truths in this world. That obviously is a concern for a person who is supposed to be protecting civil rights law and enforcing the law. He also has criticized a, quote, postmodern relativistic secular mindset, end quote, and said that such a mindset or such a disposition on life was directly contrary to the founding of our republic. And I don't need to tell you that's ridiculous, and that this nation was founded on the idea that we were not a theocracy and that we were a secular republic. He also has justified his actions on issues like immigration reform as being biblical, and that was why it was okay. So this is a nomination, just like any other nomination coming out of the Trump administration, but this is a nomination in particular that we're going to have to pay attention to and see if we can get some questions answered when the Senate begins confirmation hearings for people like this. And this is something that we will be pressing members of Congress, in particular the Senate, to ask about and to hold nominees' feet to the fire and clarify positions that they've taken in the past. The second thing that I want to talk about this week goes to the so-called First Amendment Defense Act. This is a law that's been being kicked around for the last session of Congress, and at the end of this session will expire, and so they'll have to re-propose it. Jay Michelson over at Daily Beast writes very well about the issues with this law, going through a list of almost a dozen different issues that this law could have an impact on. So if you're not familiar with the First Amendment Defense Act, what's going on here is it would essentially create, it would be a religious refusal law on steroids. It would be the next illogical step from the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. It basically prevents the federal government from engaging in any type of action that would punish or they use the word discriminate against people who oppose same-sex marriage, people who oppose issues of people having sex outside of marriage, people who believe that that sex has to be constrained to a marriage. So what this would do is it would prohibit the federal government from taking action against any corporation, any person, any organization, any government employee who, quote, believes or acts in accordance with a religious belief or moral conviction that marriage is or should be recognized as the union of one man and one woman, or that sexual relations are properly reserved to such a marriage, end quote. So this means not only that the federal government couldn't enforce any type of federal anti-discrimination law, it would also mean that the federal government couldn't put in place executive orders, as President Obama did, preventing federal contractors from engaging in discrimination. It would mean that the federal government couldn't do anything about a state where a landlord refused to rent to an LGBT person. They couldn't do anything about adoption agencies who refused to allow LGBT couples who were married to adopt. They couldn't do anything about schools discriminating against LGBT people, even if they received funding from the federal government. They couldn't do anything about hospitals who prohibit LGBT couples from seeing one another, or unmarried, unmarried partners, or anything like that. So this is really a horrifying and just way out there law that the president-elect has promised to sign and is right out of the playbook from the extreme religious right, and Mike Pence has also said that he would support this. This law would trump and would essentially nullify any existing federal protections that exist, and there aren't that many for LGBT people or unmarried mothers, but would also potentially gut enforcement mechanisms that exist in state law. So this is another law that, you know, if or when it is introduced, we will have to be on the lookout for, and we will have to fight strenuously to ensure that it doesn't pass in the first place. And if it passes, there are going to be no shortage of organizations, including American Atheists, who would line up to file a lawsuit challenging the enforcement of this law. Because what it's doing is it's enshrining one particular religion's dogma on these issues as law, and carving out exemptions on this one particular issue, saying nothing about religious exemptions for any other issue, but it only coming down on the issue of LGBT equality and sex outside of marriage. So that is all the time we have for this week. I want to thank everyone for joining us for the American Atheist Viewpoint. For more information about our work or to become a member, please visit www.atheists.org. We also have a donor match going on right now, where if you become a monthly sustaining member, your contributions will be matched dollar for dollar for the first year. You can learn more about that at atheists.org/monthly. Thank you again, and we'll talk to you next week.